Three, two, one. Welcome back to the Bushnell Project. John Bushnell here as I try to encourage us in reading God's Word and reading it daily. Even reading it is more than once in a day. And we have been reading through Judges. We're in chapter 8 near the end. And I want to talk a little bit before we get into this about some realities that we're going to see here at the end of chapter 8, and then longer term consequences of man's foolishness in chapter 9. So Gideon is one of the heroes, one of the judges of the book, and has followed God in his commands as far as the battle goes, and picking his men and getting all the way down to 300 and doing as God tells him to do. But at no time do we see Gideon as a real man of faith, or maybe even a godly man. We might wonder about his character. And here's the reality. Often we hear people saying things, but we wonder, do they mean what they say? Or are they appeasing us by what they say? Are they saying what we want to hear? And Gideon is a good example of that, where he says what is the right thing to say, theologically, as a hero of God, if you will, and all that. But then his actions betray who he really is. And then the continuing actions of his family. So we're going to see some of that here. And I just wanted to preface that. So the battle has ended. The two kings have been killed that were the Midianite kings at Gideon's hand. And now we're in verse 22 of chapter 8. So Judges chapter 8, verse 22. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian." And Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." And Gideon said to them, "Let me make a request of you. Every one of you give me the earrings from his spoil," for they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. So going back to Ishmael, Esau and Jacob. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a cloak, and every man threw in the earrings of his spoil. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, and besides the collars that were around the necks of their camels. So that's everything that Gideon gets, right? Verse 27, and Gideon made an ephod of it and put it in his city in Ophrah, and all Israel poured after it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his family. So Midian was subdued before the people of Israel, and they raised their heads no more. And the land had rest 40 years in the days of Gideon. And then verse 29, Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, remember Jerubbaal is the other name given to Gideon, went and lived in his own house. Now Gideon had 70 sons, his own offspring, for he had many wives. And his concubine who was in Shechem also bore him a son, and he called his name Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, at Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And as soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in return for all the good that he had done to Israel. And that's the end of chapter 8. That's where we'll stop. So here we see Gideon, after this great victory and defeating the Midianites was a huge thing. They were a huge oppressor of the Israelites. And now they've been completely subdued, and they're going to have peace. It tells us they're going to have peace for 40 years. For basically a generation. And but right away, Gideon is very quick to say, "Oh no, I'm not going to rule over you, or my son will rule over you. But I would like a little reward. So how about everybody just turn in their earrings that they got from all these guys? All these guys wore earrings. So let's see, we killed some 150,000 of them. So 150,000 pair of earrings, that's quite a bit. Plus the things that were around the camels, plus what the kings wore, plus their purple robes. So that robe. So now here's Gideon dressed in purple robes, and he makes this thing that there's only supposed to be one. So if you remember back when they were making the tent of meetings and the furniture and for where they were going to meet with God, and then there was this thing that the priest was going to wear to talk with God, to inquire of God, and there was only supposed to be one. There's only supposed to be one. I'm trying to look for the word because I have a hard enough time saying it when I'm looking at it. But he's going to make this. It's an ephod. Okay, so the ephod. So he's going to make this ephod. And if you remember, there was already an ephod. It would be where the tent of meetings is. So it's not where Gideon lives. It's not in his city. So that's one thing that Gideon is probably thinking. But the reality is he's going against what God has set up as a standard for the people, and he's going to make his own. And it talks about him whoring after this stuff. So here's Gideon really showing his true colors, and the people are okay with it, and they're going to get back to worshiping the Baals and all this other stuff. But for 40 years, they are going to have peace. During this time, Gideon is going to be very busy having 70, is that right? Did I read that right? 70 sons. And so it talks about he had many wives and concubines, and sometimes that word is used the same way. And then there was one particular concubine that he had in a particular city who gave him a son that we're going to read all about in chapter 9, and that is Abimelech. So Gideon's very busy having very with these women, getting them pregnant to the tune of 70 children in probably a little bit more than 40 years, because he's probably already started. But they keep things simple, and they talk 40 years, and this is what happens. So that's what's going on here. But just to recognize, he's not, God doesn't want him. He's already set the standard that a man should marry one woman. Now, he's not going to be the first. He's not the first, and he won't be the last to do have many wives. We know that. But here he is doing whatever was right in his own eyes. And he's their leader. Now, the people of Israel love Gideon, and they follow him. And when he dies, they're going to mourn because they don't have a leader. And they're going to be looking for a leader. And we'll see how that works for them. But Gideon did seem to have Israel in a good place. As far as the Israelites were concerned, they were in a good place. They had peace. They were prospering, and they were happy with Gideon. But Gideon was not leading them in a way that glorified God. He wasn't leading them in a way that would have long-term fruit, long-term goodness. And we're going to see that right away as we get into chapter 9. So for us to think about, hey, we may be doing some things. Hey, this isn't really exactly how God wants it. But you know what? At least I'm not doing X, Y, and Z. I'm just doing 1, 2, and 3, and I don't see the big deal. Well, I'm sure Gideon didn't see the big deal either. But boy, is his family going to pay a price for him not paying attention to the big deal. And we're going to see that in the next one. So something to think about. I hope you had a great weekend if you just came off of a weekend when you're listening to this. And I hope to talk to you soon. God bless you. Stay reading the word. God bless you.